The sermon text for the day is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, we're picking up the story of Jesus, and just after his birth, he is about a month old at the point in time that this story happens. Verse 21 talks about how Jesus was circumcised and named on the eighth day, and then the story picks up a little bit after that. It goes like this. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And they went to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for being among us, for being present in our midst as we worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to reflect well on this story, these words of Scripture which fill our lives with hope and with joy. Help us to be in awe of you as people were of old, to see you and realize that this is the hope of the world. We give you praise for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Theophilus, friend of God, I'm writing this letter to you in what are admittedly very difficult days. The times, they are a-changin', and we have seen our fair share of massive changes, even in the past 15 years or so, you'll remember that it was not even 15 years ago that the Roman army came and surrounded Jerusalem and laid siege to the holy city of the people of Israel. For 3 or 4 years, they built walls around the city as high as the city wall itself and kept anything from coming in or going out. And finally, the walls crumbled, the defenses fell, and the army came in and leveled the city, burned the temple to the ground, and everything was lost. Since that time, our people have been filled with a sense of despair, a loss of hope, a deep sadness has pervaded all of the people of Israel, and it seems, even since that time, that things have gotten worse and worse. And every year we wake up finding ourselves thinking, it can't get much worse than this, and yet somehow it does. And we think to ourselves and remind ourselves, God had better do something soon to bring an end to the struggles that we have. He better act soon. The reason that I'm writing these words to you, Theophilus, today is to try to convince you and show you that God has acted and that God is acting in the person of Jesus of Nazareth and in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. This story that I've shared with you, the story of the birth of Jesus, is so crucial for us to hear in our context today because it shows that God is acting. It's a story about Mary and Joseph doing their things and then later Simeon and Anna doing what they do, and they seem like they're the primary actors in the story, but really, Theophilus, the story is about God. It's about what God is doing. Because it could have happened in any number of ways. There were so many people in the temple that day when Mary and Joseph brought the young baby Jesus, now just a month old, to be dedicated to the Lord and to have the offerings presented in his honor to redeem him from the Lord, as every firstborn child has done. So many people were milling about in the temple that day. So many people saw this young family. I could have written about any of the people that met this family, but these two individuals stood out to me. There's something about the faith of elderly people. There's something about the faith of people who have seen a lot of things in their years and seen many good things and many bad things. They've learned about hope and faith and joy and expectation. And yet, the faith of elderly folks who look forward to seeing what God will do because they are convinced that God is not yet done in this world. The most faithful of our elderly folks are still looking to see what God will do. And so Simeon, the first of the two elderly folks that met the young family on this particular day, Simeon was a devout Jew filled with God's Spirit, and he met Jesus and in this meeting recognized two really meaningful and profound things: that this baby that was overlooked by so many others would grow up to be the one to be Messiah for all people, not just the Savior of the Jews, but the Messiah for the Gentiles as well. And yet, Simeon recognized that this Messiah would be divisive, that not everyone would believe in him, that he would separate families apart based on those who believe and those who don't. The other elderly woman that met this young family, Anna, a faithful woman who had been widowed for many, many, many years and spent all of her time in the temple. Remember the temple that's now gone these 15 years. She spent all of her time in that temple, waiting and praying for God to do something. For somebody to spend all of that time in the house of God means two things. One, the world is broken. And two, God is going to do something about it. She had this unshakable faith that God could fix the problems that were in her world. And when she saw this family and Simeon blessing them, she gave thanks to God and spoke about this child to anyone who would listen. Theophilus, friend of God, did they just have a false hope? Simeon and Anna, did they just have a false hope that sent them on a path to disillusionment? Or would have if they had lived long enough? They didn't live long enough to see what had happened to Jesus 30-some years down the road. What happened to this baby boy who grew up and raised a following and did tremendous miracles that I'll tell you about later? He did all of these wonderful things, and then one of his own betrayed him and to the authorities, and he was executed, died at a young age, far too young. Imagine what he could have done if he had lived longer. Simeon and Anna didn't live long enough to see that happen, and they certainly didn't live long enough to see the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple itself where these encounters with Jesus took place that happened 40 years after Jesus died. Did they just have a false hope? Was it something that was just a wash? Both of these people, Simeon and Anna, had their eyes open to see what God was doing in their world. Both of them raised their voices to praise God for the long-awaited salvation in Jesus, and both of them had an authentic encounter with Jesus, even Jesus as an infant. The reason that I'm writing these stories to you, Theophilus, is exactly that. It is in an... I knew I'd trip over these words as I write them. It's in an authentic encounter with Jesus that we find meaning and clarity and purpose and salvation, even in the midst of the chaotic circumstances of our lives. Jerusalem is laid waste. The temple has been destroyed. It seems, even as you read today's news, that evil has the upper hand. But something different has happened in the person of Jesus. Jesus brings hope. A hope that the world cannot provide on its own. A hope that touches even the elderly among us. A hope that they may yet see him face to face. He brings hope even for those who will not see, who will not live long enough to see the restoration of Jerusalem. There is hope for a new kingdom that is being built. There is hope even for those who have been waiting all their lives for the good news. It is a hope that what we have waited for all this time has finally arrived. Life is challenging and difficult, I know. But being in the presence of Jesus makes all the waiting worthwhile. Encountering Jesus still brings hope that he will make things right in the end, even when it doesn't seem possible. Especially that a baby boy could grow to become the deliverer, the one who establishes a kingdom, who brings light to even the Gentiles like you and me. The rest of that baby's story is what gives me hope. His life, his teachings, his miracles, the power that he has over evil and death, the forgiveness that he offers, the love that he shares. That's what gives me hope. The way that he created a group of missionary disciples to carry on his work after he left. gives me hope. The way that he endured betrayal and trial and crucifixion and death and burial and even was raised from the dead, that gives me hope. The way that he rose into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, and the way he empowered that group of missionary disciples to carry on that work after he left, the way he caused his message to spread through Peter and John and James and Paul and Barnabas and Timothy, that gives me hope. Those are the stories that I'm going to write about. Even though Jesus is no longer on earth, his presence is still with us, bringing hope, bringing reasons for us to give thanks to God, bringing meaning and clarity and purpose and salvation. So, Theophilus, friend of God, in the most chaotic of times, pursue the presence of Jesus. Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, we invite you to be in our midst and to remind us of your love for us and to call us forward to meet with you, to encounter you, and to be renewed in our hope that you will make things right in the end. Give us eyes to see this child, this Savior, this King, and give us hearts that are committed to him, to follow him all of our days. We pray this in your strong and powerful name.